Amen, amen. So glad to be here with you at Walk Church. As Hayden mentioned, my name is Akeem, and I started a church in downtown Oakland. How many of you have been to Oakland? See some hands in the building. Okay, well, you've been to Oakland. How many of you left Oakland? There's a lot of people that's leaving the Bay for Vegas these days, and I mean, I'm excited to be here. I just want to honor you, Pastor Hayden. I remember watching this guy play basketball. I went to Sierra Vista, played ball there. I remember my freshman year just pulling up to Silverado, watching you play, just popping popcorn with some guys. And man, I just want to honor you. Thank you for what you've done for Storyline. And Walk Church, thank you for your generosity in helping us launch our church. We say this at Storyline all the time. We're better together, and we move at the speed of your generosity. So because of you're quick to give, quick to invest into the mission at Storyline Church, we've been able to see God do some incredible things, and our church are growing deep in their faith and planting roots in Oakland, and we're here to stay for sure. We love the Bay, and so I just wanna thank you for all that you've done to invest into our ministry and our church there in the Bay Area. And you're welcome for the Raiders. And the A's. I can't believe that's coming out of my mouth. That's maybe I'll come back. No, I'm just kidding. Nah. We got a better trade on Sundays to get church. Come on, somebody. Well, I am been tasked with the responsibility this morning to help us grow in our worship. That's what I want to talk to you about. To grow in our worship. I've got this golf bag here to help me. How many of you golf? Okay. 10 a.m. service. Got it. Okay. I'm a golfer, sort of, kind of. And this is called a driver. How many of you know what a driver is? Raise your hand. Okay, you know what a driver is. Okay, in the building. How many of you are nervous right now? All right. So with your golf bag, you've got 9 different clubs, and you've got a driver. And a driver is essentially what you're going to use from the tee box, right? This is the biggest and hardest club in the bag. It's hard to swing. It's hard to master. It's hard to get it down. But if you can master it, you can hit 250, 300 yards. How many of you are hitting 250 out there? Any golfers in the building, okay, in the front? What? Stop it. 250, that's a lie. So the thing with your golf bag is that you've got a different club for a different shot. Right, so you wouldn't, if you're a golfer, you wouldn't pull out your putt-putt at the tee box, right? And the same thing, you wouldn't pull out your driver on the green. It's a different shot and a different approach, so you get a different club. And same it is when it comes to worship. There are 7 Hebrew words for praise that you've been given as at your disposal, and oftentimes we just come with just the one word, praise, 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 praise. When you bump against the scripture, you see the word praise, but behind that, underneath that, there are actually 7 different Hebrew words for praise, and it's a different shot and different approach for every different situation. And so what I wanna do with our time together today is give you just one club in the bag to help us go from just a putt-putt to a driver, right? To pull out that 7-iron when you need it. And so I want to give us the Hebrew word for praise, just one, and it's this word, todah. Say it with me. Todah. On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Todah. Todah. Chris Tomlin said this about the 7 Hebrew words of praise. These words have changed the way I enter into God's courts. In them, I found complete freedom to express my praise to God. See, I've heard about the, you know, 4 Greek words for love, right? But I've missed the praise train, right? There's actually 7 Hebrew words for praise. And so I want to help us seek to unlock new levels of praise, right? By distilling this word, todah. What does it mean to todah? 300 years ago, these really smart guys got in a room, some religious leaders, and they tried to distill what does it mean for us to worship God and praise God? And what they walked away with this Westminster Catechism, what is the chief end of man? Right? This is the conclusion they came with. And it stood the test of time for the past 300 years is this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? The point of your existence is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? Right. Every day, every minute, every second, right? We expel carbon dioxide, right? It's for you and I to literally enjoy and glorify God forever. And to put it more succinctly, it's this, to worship him. To worship him. And when we think of singing, when we think of worship, we think of singing. But worship is not just singing. It's much more than that. Chris Lyman says, worship is not a genre. It isn't even music itself. It's an act of reverence and adoration. So while worship is much more than singing, it isn't less than singing. But this word Torah is going to help us understand another club that we have at our disposal when it comes to worship. And it's this word Torah. It's on the screen. It simply means this. It's a word of thanksgiving. It's an extension of the hand in thanksgiving, listen, for what God has done. And it also means an extension of the hand for a sacrifice of praise for things not yet received. You hear me? It's an extension of the hand, one hand, for what God has already done, and then an extension of the hand, the sacrifice of praise for things not yet received. So listen, when we come and worship, when we come and sing, it's not less than singing, it's much more than that. It's shooting the hand to the sky and thanking God for what he has done and then believing God for what he's yet to do. And so as we unpack what it is, Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, turn there, we'll read it together. Psalm 100, quick five verses. Here's what it says. It's heading in your scripture, Psalm of Thanksgiving. It says, let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Come before him with joyful songs and acknowledge that the Lord is, what does it say? He's God. He made us and we are his people, the people of his pasture. Verse 4, enter his gates with, what does it say? Come on, not the rest of us. And his courts with praise. That's the password, which by the way is the title of my message this morning. Thank you. Next. Come on. Thank you, Arianda. Next. Thank you. Next. And his course of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithfulness endures forever throughout all generations. Can we pray together? God, would you give us something fresh, something simple, something life-giving for us this morning, that we may grow in this area of worship. You've called us to worship you. We desire, John says, that we worship you in spirit and in truth. And so I pray that even in this room, as we worship, and I get out of the way in just a moment and hear this response song, God, that you would be pleased for our worship. We would do it with our lips, but much more than that, we would do it with our hands. And may our time as we conclude, we can look back at video surveillance and see the faith in this room expressed with our words, but also expressed in our Torah. So would you speak something fresh, something simple for each of us this morning? And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amy Cuddy, she's done this TED Talk. If you haven't heard of it, it's viral. It's a TED Talk she's done 10 years ago, over a decade now, and it's about 25 minutes long. I encourage you to go watch it. She does this TED Talk essentially about body language. And she talks about how body language gives us power. And she gives some illustrations of the animal kingdom. In fact, there's a picture on the screen here of Planet of the Apes. Check out this Planet of the Apes, right? Look at that. That's a power pose. Right? He's in a power pose. And she talks about like this power pose, a study that's been done all throughout. She brings about 25 people into a room and she interviews all of them and she tells them essentially two groups of people. She tells one group to go and to do a power pose for about 2 minutes in the bathroom and then sends them into an interview for a job interview. And then she does what the other group, send them into another room and they do this small pose, right? It's like what you do when you're on your phone. What do you do? You're right here, right? It says nothing about power. It says small. It says humility. It says timid, right? It says shy. And she encourages them to do this small pose and sends them into the room for their interview. And she has another group of volunteers that's kind of watching this unfold. And volunteers not knowing, right, who did what pose, she asked the volunteers, based upon who walked into the room, who do you think will get the interview, to get the job? And without a shadow of a doubt, large majority of the group said the people who did the power pose. Right? Look at Steph, right? After he hits a big shot, right? That's a power pose, right? Night-night, right? It's a power pose. How about this one? Usain Bolt? What a pose, right? Like, he's in charge. He's large in charge. Like, it's a power pose. And it turns out, the conclusion from this TED Talk turns out that our body language, that is our nonverbals, says a lot about us. That they actually govern the way we think and feel about ourselves. She says this, that our body language changes our minds. And our minds change our behaviors, and our behaviors change our outcomes. And she says, don't fake it till you make it, fake it till you become it. But listen, when we come and worship, we just don't bring our body into worship because someone with a PhD tells us to. Come on, we bring our body into worship because at the heart of Christianity is a life-giving, life-saving God who gave his son for your sins and for my freedom to give us new life. And so Exodus 17 talks about Moses, right? Moses going up to the mount at the top of the hill and he's there holding his hands up. You remember this? Somebody's like, I don't know. You need to read your Bible. Okay, Exodus 17, right? Moses has his hand up, and he sends his protege Joshua to fight the battle in the valley, and Joshua goes, and he fights the battle. And Moses said, Joshua, when you look to the hilltop, when you look to the hill, you see my hands. It's a signal. It's a symbol that like, God's going to fight your battles for you. And so Joshua, fighting his battles, looked to the hills and see Moses. And the scripture tells us that Moses' hands grew heavy. Go ahead, try it. Come on. Throw your hands in the sky. Both of them, right? He says, as you throw your hands up, the Bible says that his hands grew heavy. And so a man named Aaron and a man named Hur was holding up Moses' hand. Come on, we need more men like Hur. Come on, somebody, right? Right? Holding up Moses' hand. So every time Joshua fighting, I see, you're dropping, right? Every time Joshua looked to the hills, he would see Moses' hands in the sky, and it was a symbol of God's going to fight my battles for me. And so what I want to do for us this morning is to give you, come on, two hands of thanksgiving of what God has done for you, and another hand of thanksgiving and believing what God has yet to do for you, so that when you're in the battle, when you're down in the valley, come on, you can look to the hills and remember where your help comes from, that God fights your battles, you don't fight your battles, your help comes from the Lord. God, you are my king, and you will establish the light. And so, number one, thanking God for what you have already received. Thanking God for what you've already received. 1 Thessalonians says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Listen, this is God's will for you. Listen, I've got on the screen here a grocery cart full of things that you can thank God for, right? Friendships and family. right? How many of you've been restored with family, right? You're getting ready to have Thanksgiving this week, right? You've been restored in community and relationship, forgiveness of sins, right? Relationship with God, the hope of heaven, right? A spiritual and physical healing, a hardship, not necessarily the hardship, but what produces out of the hardship, which is a genuine relationship with God. The Holy Spirit. The scriptures, it's at your disposal. Some of you, you've been baptized. Some of you, you're getting baptized. Come on, let's celebrate with those going public with their faith. God's answered your prayers, and he's chose not to answer the one that you asked him for. Right? This is God's will for you, that is to thank God for what you've already received. I'm going to come back and talk about two of the grocery carts. Two things. Number one, your spiritual and physical healing. You can thank God for that. I think of Acts chapter 3 and a beautiful story. Peter and John going up to the temple to pray, and they see a lame man laying there at the a gate called Beautiful. And the Bible says the man is miserable, which is a juxtaposition. Here's a beautiful place with a miserable person. And Peter and John walking by caught this man's gaze, and the man looking at them saw Peter and John, began turning towards him, right? Peter and John turning towards him, turning their gaze, turning their charisma, turning their agency towards this man. And based upon their interaction, the man expected something good coming his way. As they turned towards him, he was expecting something from them. Listen, people are expecting things from you. Not just what you say and not just how you say it, but they're expecting because of your posture, right? And I think that's what the word Todah is really communicating. It's not just the words coming from our lips. It's the nonverbals. It's the body language. It's the posture towards them and towards God. And what a word to us parents. What a word to you parents. What a word to us spouses. What a word to us coaches. What a word to us leaders. What a word to us and the unnamed people in our lives, right? As we turn our posture towards them, they're expecting something from us. And Peter and John said these words next. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. The Bible says, extending his hand towards them, towards him, he took the man by the hand, and he stood up and walked. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse number 8, and it says, and as he did, the man's feet and ankle and bones were healed and strengthened so that he came up with a leap and stood there a moment and began walking, then walking and leaping and praising God, he went. He never walked before. This man was Billie Jean, was not all over that temple courtyard. He's never walked before. He never got his feet before. He never got his legs underneath him before. So jumping and using his legs that God had given him, he did. And he was walking and jumping. I say, if you've been given new legs, you jump on them. I say, if you've been given new life, you jump on it. I was lame, but now I can walk. I was blind, but now I can see. So you've received both this spiritual and physical healing. But come on, let's be honest, right? Some of us are still in that holding pattern, in that waiting season. Some of us are still in the valley of Joshua fighting the battles, and you haven't seen it come to fruition yet. You haven't seen that relationship materialized. You haven't seen that healing, physical or spiritual, materialize. Can I tell you this morning, you don't just have a hand of thanking God for what he has done. Listen, you've got a hand of thanking God for what he's yet to do. So while Todah, that is the extension of the hand, is thanking God and thanksgiving for what he has done, it's also an extension of sacrifice of praise for what you've not yet received. Walk, I think this is going to stretch you. Because not only is this God's will for you, but listen, this is good for you. So here's the question. Is your worship worthy to be called a sacrifice? Is your worship, what we just did, what we're doing now, we're listening, is it worthy to be called a sacrifice? Because the scriptures tell us Cain and Abel went to the house to worship. Do you remember this? And they came to offer a sacrifice of praise or sacrifice. And it says that God accepted Abel's offerings and not Cain's. Question, why did God accept Abel's and not Cain's? Answer, faith. And so Hebrews, looking back at the story, tells us in Hebrews 13, through him, let us continually offer a, what does it say? Come on, now the rest of us, the people in the back, a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, then it take faith for you to worship God this morning. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you extend a todah of thanking God for what he has done and then extending a todah and thanking God for what you've yet to receive, what are you doing? You're offering a sacrifice of praise. God, it hasn't come to fruition, but it's on the menu today. I'm believing that you're going to heal. I'm believing you're going to bring forgiveness. I'm believing you're going to come through. Thank you. A sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship. This is so depicted in Psalm 50. It says in Psalm 50, psalmist Asaph recorded this stanza. He goes along and tells us who'd forgotten their God. And the stanza kind of culminates with this principle of, have you forgotten God, with a promise to those who practice Torah, practice an arm of thanksgiving. He says this in verse number 22 and 23, it's on the screen. Now consider this, you who forgot God, and there be none to deliver, whoever offers praise, Torah, that's the word underneath, glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Asaph makes it pretty clear and simple that sometimes a sacrifice of praise, right, the act of showing God honor and praise, even before the realization of the promise, precedes salvation. Right? Do you see it? He says, whoever offers praise, whoever offers Torah, glorifies me. And to him, he will see the salvation of God. So salvation comes after your Todah. But Psalm 56 does the same thing. David wrote the psalm. He was captured by the Philistines at Gath. And despite his capture and dire circumstances, David wrote these words. Listen, he didn't write it after. He wrote it during. And here's what it says in verse number 11, Psalm 56. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render Torah to you. See, David, captured by the enemy, facing an unknown future and unknown circumstances, praised the Lord for the promise of deliverance he not yet received. He knew he'd be delivered. So in his imprisonment, what did he do? He praised God in earnest expectation. Chris Tomlin calls this, he says, Todah is the word for sacrifice of praise. It's this expectation of believing what God can do and what he will do. But I can tell that if that hasn't convinced you, how about a New Testament example, right? Paul and Silas, as they were singing praises to God, Scripture says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And the scripture tells us that God moved in, and suddenly there was such this violent earthquake, and their shackles and the foundations removed from their hands and their feet, and the gates opened, the prisons opened, and they walked out as free men. You see, it's your praise, it's your song, it's your todah, it's your thanking God for what he has done that he will do. Torah. So let me ask you again. What you just did in worship, did it require faith? Did it require faith? So how should we respond in thanksgiving? Can I give you just three things and we'll be done? We'll continue in worship. Number one, give thanks this week to the past in appreciation. Give thanks in the past for appreciation. I'll give all three. Give thanks in the future with expectation. And then give thanks in the present, listen, to stay on mission. Give thanks for appreciation. And look to the future and give thanks. Why? Because it's on the menu. It's on the horizon for expectation. And then give thanks in the moment today so that you and I can remain to stay on mission. I love the story with Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And as he enters into Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that there were 10 lepers outside the city. Here are some lepers. They're outskirts of the city, ostracized from their community, and they're needing help. They're needing healing. And here they are at the outside of the city, and they see Jesus making his way into Jerusalem. And as he does, the 10 lepers cry out to him. They cry out. They say something along the lines of, Master, Jesus, have pity on us. And if you don't see these guys waving their hands, you're reading the Bible wrong. Master, Jesus, have pity on us. And the scripture tells us that when he saw them, he made his way towards these 10 lepers, standing from a distance and called out loud voice, Jesus, have pity on us. And the scripture says that Jesus came and made his way towards them. He turned his agency towards them and he says to them, hey, go show yourselves to the priest. And the Bible says this on the screen, as they, what does it say? Went, they were cleansed. It doesn't say, hey, after they got there and they met with the priest, they were cleansed. It says, as they were walking, their skin began to clean. You see, what precedes gratitude? Miracles precedes gratitude. But what precedes miracles is your obedience. And these men, wanting to see a miracle, wanting to see God move and restore them back into community and restore them back into society and back into civilization, right? Wanting to see God do something that they believe he could do, they began to see and believe, and then they started walking. And the Bible says, as soon as they began to walk, they were cleansed. You see, friends, what precedes your miracles is your obedience. Isn't that what we're talking about? How to grow in our obedience and our worship? I wrote it like this: you will never grow in your worship if you never grow in gratitude. So if we give thanks in the past for appreciation and do it in hopeful expectation, and we can do it to stay on mission. Tozer said this: true worship that is pleasing to God creates within the human heart a spirit of expectation and an insatiable longing. Therefore, the psalmist says, I will give thanks among the nations. I will give a todah among the nations, Lord, and I will sing your todah about your name. The psalmist says, the nations are not yet restored. But God, if there's anybody who can do it, you can. And so what I'm going to do is raise a todah an arm of thanksgiving for those you've already brought to Christ, but then raise another arm of expectation that I believe that you will do it. And God says, hey, I will give thanks to you among the nations, Lord, and I will sing your praises to your name. Listen, when you raise a todah, it helps you to stay on mission. So as we continue in a moment of worship here, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back on stage and lead us in a time of response. Church, can I encourage you? We get a second go around to stand with me. And listen, it's not just the fruit of our lips that bring thanks and praise to God, but it's the body language. It's the posture. It's our agency towards him. So maybe today you're believing God for something and you haven't seen it come to pass. Can I say, raise a thanksgiving that he will do it? And maybe you're in the room this morning and God has healed you. God has restored you. God has brought those relationships back into your life. You have the forgiveness of sins. Hope, heaven is your hope. The Holy Spirit is in your sails. Come on, would you thank him for what he has done? And together, we can look back someday in heaven on the video surveillance in this room and be moved by the faith in this room that we believe God for what he has done, and we're going to believe him for what he can do, right? Come on, we're going to raise our hands in thanksgiving. So when we raise our hands, listen, we're thanking him for what he has and then believing for what he will do. So, for me personally, God, I believe you will end violence, so I'm going to raise my hand until you do. God, I believe you will end homelessness in Oakland, in Las Vegas, and until then, my praise is up. God, you will end human trafficking, and until then, my hand is up. God, you will save the nations, and until then, my hand is up. God, every knee and every tongue will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is, until then, my hands is up. God, I'm going to give you my praise and my worship. Come on, church, let's worship together.